Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the All Day SJ Show. I'm your host, Stephen Johnson, and joining me right now is a good friend of mine. He currently serves as the producer for Bears Post Game Live on NBC Sports Chicago, and also as the host of their Fantasy Football Fix show. He is Slavko Bekovic. Slav, what's going on, my brother?
How are you, man?
I'm real good, man. I would have been better if the Bears would have did their job yesterday and beat the dreaded rival, but you know what it is, man. As a fan, I'm very disappointed that coming off a bye week, we couldn't take out a team who was missing their best player and quarterback Aaron Rodgers, and also after the first half, they lost both their first string running backs, man. It's just really demoralizing as a fan, and that's going to lead me into my first question to you. Where do the Bears stand after these 9 games at 3-6? Because in all reality, they should be better than their record states. But after a game like that, is this team really just not that good, or are they poorly coached?
Well, I mean, obviously you can look at a couple huge breakdowns yesterday that changed the difference in the game. You lose by 7 points. You can point to the Ty Montgomery touchdown run, 37 yards, untouched. That can't happen for that defense.
And, right.
You know, we had Prince Mukamara on the post-game show yesterday, and he pretty much owned up to it. He went into the wrong gap. He read it wrong. He jumped the wrong gap, and Ty Montgomery went through the open hole, and he was untouched. So that's 7 points right there. That's the difference in the ball game. Obviously, of course, you also have the Bunny Cunningham play that John Fox and the Bears challenged. The worst one challenge in NFL history, I would probably assume, mm-hmm. considering that they challenged it, they won it, but the result, of course, was a turnover. The ball goes back to the Packers. And that's just, it's unacceptable. You can't have multiple people up in your front office or in the press box, your offensive team, your video team, looking at that play and tell John Fox, yes, we've looked at it, you have to challenge it, and then it results in a turnover. So not only are you're hoping that you have set 6 points on the board, instead, you've now given the ball away inside the red zone. It was the only turnover of the game for the Bears, and obviously, again, that's the difference of the ball game. It's mistakes like that that absolutely cannot happen, and like you said, you had 2 weeks to prepare for this Packers team without Aaron Rodgers. They have not won a game coming out of a bye since 2013.
Wow.
That's not acceptable.
Yes.
You have 2 weeks to prepare for your opponent, when sometimes you only have 4 days if you go, you know, you play a Thursday night game and you had a previous game on Sunday. How can you not win out of a bye week against a Rodgers-less Packers team? It just blows my mind. So you're sitting there now at 3-6. You've lost two in a row. The Packers and Lions are both 5-4, and the Vikings are head and shoulders above everybody else in the NFC North. So that essentially, to me, kind of ended any chances that they were going to have a second half where they can at least be in the playoff contention. Now I think, I don't want to say it's a demoralizing win. It certainly is for, you know, fans of the team, but that's going to be tough to recover from the Bears.
Yeah, Slav, I agree with you, man. And, you know, going into what I like to call the Twitterverse, everybody is pretty much fed up with how yesterday turned out. They're directing their anger, and rightfully so, at guys like John Fox, Dial Loggins, and even Ryan Pace. My question to you is, are all three on the hot seat? And what do you expect come the end of the season? I know a lot of people are talking about potentially Sean Payton. Maybe Jim Harbaugh leaves Michigan to come and coach. What is your feeling about the coaching staff and front office in the 2018 season?
Well, I think everybody would agree that John Fox is most definitely on the hot seat. He's fighting for his job. I mean, I personally like Fox as a head coach. I like how he treats the players as men within the locker room. And
right.
You know, we've got obviously Alex Brown, Jim Miller, and Lance Briggs as our analysts on the show. And I think they were taken back by how honest Fox was in his post-game presser, and he didn't throw anybody under the bus.
Right.
Because I think everybody knows on that replay review, somebody up in the booth had to have called down to the field and said, yes, we need to challenge that play. And now whether that's a football guy or a video guy, they have to know the rules well enough, and they have to be able to see the entire play in order to realize that that is a horrible mistake.
Right.
Obviously, Fox is going to be the guy that gets all of the blame. Some people may not know, and I know Twitter, as much as we all love it, it can also reveal a lot of ignorance, and people may not necessarily know how things really work. And I think you saw a lot of that yesterday with the blame going down on Fox, people saying he needs to be fired at halftime, etc. Yes, his record clearly does not indicate good football in his tenure with the Bears, but he's also not been given a ton to work with. This is the first season, and last season you can argue they were really derailed by all the injuries. I think 21 guys on injured reserve by the end of the year, and it hasn't really been that much different this year. Look at the IR and some of the names that are on there now.
Right.
It's not quite the numbers that we've seen, but how many starters on both sides of the ball have we seen now put on IR? That's not to take away blame, because in the NFL, it's next man up.
Right.
And that's on Ryan Pace to deliver that depth in that 53-man roster and a practice squad. So when their injuries happen, you have the guy that can come right in and fill in and play maybe just not just as good as a starter, but, you know, a step below and be a quality replacement player. For the most part, that's been the case this year. At the tight end position, maybe a little bit different. Zach Miller was your best pass-catching tight end. He goes down.
Right.
Deion Sims didn't play yesterday. And that sucks for Trubisky, because those are guys that he was kind of focusing more on, and a lot of those targets were coming there because he doesn't have any depth at wide receiver. The blame for Ryan Pace, to me, is solely in the wide receiver group. When you look at his defense, I mean, I still really can't complain. Yes, I wish they would have made one or two more plays yesterday. Yes, it would have been nice to see them create one takeaway, especially with Brett Hundley under center. But they still held the opponent to 23 points. You were still in that game. The Montgomery play, everybody would want to take back. That's just a mistake by Amukamara. Kyle Fuller did not have his best game as a Bear, certainly. He's been great this season, but they really went after him. But you've also got to credit Brett Hundley. That touchdown to Devontae Adams was perfect. That was essentially an Aaron Rodgers-esque play. He scrambled, he bought some more time, he threw on the run, and it was a pinpoint back-shoulder throw at the pylon, one-on-one coverage. Sometimes you just got to tip your cap when the other team does what they're supposed to do and they execute it perfectly, and that's what happened. But I don't think Pace has any concern right now. I think he's got enough depth on defense, and that's really what's going to carry this team if they're going to want to do anything this season, and that's what has carried this team so far, because the offense certainly isn't winning them any ball games. Pace is okay. Loggins frustrates me sometimes with some of the play calling. We go back to that Green Bay game on Thursday night earlier this season. The first play of the game was a strip sack fumble in your own red zone where they tried to get fancy.
Right.
Keep it simple. You're usually scripting your first 15 plays of the game. The Bears haven't been able to do much, if anything, this season on their first possession or their second possession. So why is it taking so long for the offense to find any kind of rhythm? Or maybe even any sense of urgency. Because we saw in the second half, once Green Bay scored a touchdown, then the Bears started to look a little bit better offensively. I do think Dontrell Inman had a really nice debut, 6 catches for 88 yards, but Dalvin Loggins has to do more to put this offense in a situation where you're giving everybody the best chance to win. You need to run the ball more. Trubisky, I thought, had played a really nice game. He missed a couple throws, but he also made a couple throws. That throw to Bellamy was on the money. And there's a lot of shorter throws. When he's got three-step drops, he's been fine. You know, look at one target, two target, hit your progressions quickly and get the ball out. Any of these 5 or 7-step drops, longer developing plays, that's tougher on a young quarterback, especially when you don't have Kyle Long on your offensive line yesterday to offer a little bit more protection and more of a pocket.
Yeah, Slavian, that's very good stuff right there, man. Great stuff. I think to your point about John Fox, first of all, a lot of people don't remember his first season here. The Bears were a Robbie Gould missed field goal away from really being literally in the hunt against the 49ers. That was a 6-10 team. They had a lot of talent to either be 8-8 or 9-7. His second year, you were right, they were decimated by injuries. This year right now, I think that's where patients are kind of getting tested, because they see the potential in this group and like they just can't put it together. And you mentioned it earlier in the interview, they had 2 weeks to prepare for a very injury-riddled team. Not to mention they're a rival, Slav, and they could not get a W out of that. I understand what you're saying. Like, the fans are very frustrated. Like, it's all about perspective, which I appreciate you putting everything into perspective. But even you admitted there's really no excuse to have 2 weeks off to prepare for a team who's reeling and you still don't get the job done. And I honestly, Slavi, I think that's a reflection of the coaching staff. Now, while you made a good point about guys like Trubisky, he's developing well, even with the playbook not being necessarily opened up for him to really show how good he really is. I think he's developing very well. I think you can give some credit to not only Ron Pace, but Dow Loggins and John Fox in that regard. I personally believe, Slavi, he played his best game as an NFL quarterback yesterday. 21 for 35, 297 yards, a touchdown, and a 97 rating. Dontrelle Inman was a very good surprise there with his 6 catches and 88 yards. But I feel like he was the only one outside of that Josh Bellamy bomb that can make a play for you. How's this, for lack of a better term, hindering the development of Mitch, not having, the best weapons in your rookie year? And two, do you see him not only improving, but do you think he could become one of the elite in the NFL at the quarterback position?
To answer the second question first, it's still way too early. It's really difficult to say, can this guy become an elite quarterback? Because obviously right now, that means you're looking at, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. To me, those are the three elite quarterbacks in football. Those are also three all-time legends. Those are three Hall of Famers. So let's say you put those guys aside. Because if you end up with one of those guys, you're far and away, you're doing a great job. You don't even have to worry about that position for 10, 15 years. I don't think Trubisky is there. I don't necessarily think he can be that type of player. That's just, those are kind of generational guys that you don't see come around very often. I do think that Trubisky can become that next tier of an NFL quarterback, where it's an extremely reliable starter, a guy who starts for 8 to 12 years consecutively for one team. And really, I look at Philadelphia and what they've done with Carson Wentz in 2 years, and I think that's what Bears fans should kind of hope for with Mitch Trubisky. Wentz was kind of a game manager last year, don't turn the ball over. He was really good in the fourth quarter, really good with those late drives for the Eagles, but the team wasn't very good. So they went and they added some weapons around him. They get Alshon Jeffrey in the offseason. They add Jay Ajayi to help out the running game after Sproles got hurt. They had a really strong offensive line. And, losing Jason Peters will really hurt them for the rest of the season. But they put enough around Wentz to really have him thrive. Considering that you keep the same offense, you're hoping for that natural progression. I think that's what we want to see out of Mitch Trubisky. And through five starts, I think that's what you are seeing. He set career highs across the board. Obviously, that's not saying a ton because he's only played five games, but 21 completions is a career high, 35 passing attempts is a career high, 297 passing yards, that blows everything else out of the water. And the 97 rating was nice. It's nice to see 35 attempts and a guy putting up quality NFL quarterback numbers. Remember, we were kind of joking about this yesterday. There was a draw play that Trubisky kind of faked it like he was going to throw, and it just looked very amateurish, almost high schoolish. And then it kind of dawned on me. I was like, pretty much 15 starts ago, this guy was in high school. So we need to temper the expectations. This is a rookie who has started 13 games in college. This is his fifth NFL game on a team that has nothing on offense. Right. They're barren of much talent at all, specifically at the wide receiver position. So we need to make sure that we're putting Trubisky in a realistic thought of, what can we expect out of this guy? And I think what he did yesterday was great. I mean, the throw to Josh Bellamy, money. The biggest takeaway for me yesterday that frustrated me with Trubisky was some of the sacks that he took. I still feel like he needs to improve upon his pocket awareness, and when that pocket breaks down, to rely a little bit more on his leg. There was a couple times where he could have just taken off and gotten some positive yardage. Instead, he was waiting, kind of scrambled around a little bit in the pocket, and then didn't know where to go with it, and it resulted in a sack. So there was too many times where, they ran it on first down, and they got nothing. So now it's second and nine, second and ten. Now it's a, obvious passing play. When you take a sack and put yourself third and 16, third and 18, that does you no favors as a rookie quarterback. The penalties were also really frustrating, again, coming out of a bye week.
Right.
But when you look at Trubisky, kind of on his own, that you see the talent, you see some of the throws that he makes, and you just go, wow, that was on the money. There's nobody else that had the chance at that ball except for his receiver. And there were other throws, too. I mean, 14 incompletions, there was a few drop passes. Josh Bellamy, I think, had 6 or 8 targets, and he only pulled in 2 balls.
Wow.
Josh Bellamy is not an NFL receiver, and he's out there on the field for almost every single snap. Dontrell Inman is as close to a good receiver as he has, and I think he has established a little something with Kendall Wright as well. Wright led the team in targets, pulled down a lot of those shorter intermediate routes, and they got him some first downs. So you can see the progress, but still it resulted in a loss. And that's definitely not on Trubisky, but there were certain sacks taken and some decisions that he made or some drop passes from that offense that certainly didn't help.
Right, right. All right, Slavi, you made this transition to this next question perfect. So let's play a game called Make the Bears Offense Great Again. Now, obviously, I know. That's why I gotta have you play it with me, man. I got a plan, and I wanted to get your opinion on it to see how realistic it is. You mentioned that just how thin the wide receiving core is with this team. So looking ahead to 2018, you're going to have your number one receiver in-house, Cameron Meredith, come back from an injury. You also have your project. I like to still call him a project because we really don't know how good he can be because he's always injured, and Kevin White. You got those two coming back in 2018, okay? I got 3 targets, realistically, in my opinion, 3 realistic free agent targets for the wide receivers that the Bears could conceivably bring in next year. Davante Adams, Martavis Bryant, and Jarvis Landry. In my opinion, 2 of those 3 to put next to Cameron Meredith or Kevin White, that would help out Trubisky immensely. But how realistic do you think that any of those guys can be convinced to come to Chicago to play here, especially someone like Jarvis Landry, who is as consistent as they come, who has ambitions of being one of the best, like I'm talking top 5 wide receivers in football. He wants to be that. How realistic do you think it is that they can bring in 1 or 2 of those guys next season?
Well, certainly they'll be looking at one of those guys as a free agent to bring in. I don't think there's any question that will be one of the main focuses for Ryan Pace. And maybe, you know, assuming that they have a very high pick, you may see them even target a wide receiver early in the draft.
Right.
If they're somewhere up in the 5 to 10 range, and maybe you could see a guy like Ridley from Alabama
as
a wide receiver that gets taken very early, and I think they're definitely doing their diligence there, scouting college receivers. But from the free agency perspective, obviously, I think Landry is the number one guy, but he is more of a possession receiver, shorter routes, intermediate routes, and I think that might be a good complement to a guy like Cameron Meredith, but I don't think you can really rely on Meredith or Kevin White next year at all. You have to remember, Meredith was a practice squad guy for a while before ever getting a shot because of injuries last year. He's only started 10 games in his NFL career, 66 grabs for 888 yards last year, and it was a really promising season for him, and I think that we were all expecting more of the same and then some this year for Meredith, with Leonard under center to start, and then ultimately at some point it would be Trubisky. So you would want to see him and Trubisky develop that relationship, and now you've got that year of chemistry taken away because of the ACL injury.
Right.
A guy who started 10 games, and he's coming off of a major injury. It's tough to rely on that. Kevin White, same thing. The guy's had 3 straight years where he cannot stay on the field, and that's incredibly frustrating. Those are 2 guys that I don't think you should even count on. If you get anything out of them, great. I think going to training camp next year, those are your, you know, kind of number 4, 5, 6 receivers that fill out your roster. I think if Meredith comes back and has a good training camp and a good preseason, then now you're looking at, okay, other number 2 or number 3 receiver. I don't think they'll go after Martavis Bryant, simply for the fact that they probably could have traded for him if they wanted to.
Right.
And the price wasn't worth the risk. I don't think the Bears will go after him unless they do, you know, a free agent visit with him and really sit down and say, okay, I think this is a guy who's got his head on straight, and this is a guy that's going to improve our ball team. Landry is obviously a great bet. Davante Adams, to me, is the number one target. A bigger target, definitely a red zone target that we've seen over the last 2 years in Green Bay. He still has issues with drop passes, and he even dropped up when yesterday against the Bears.
Right.
I mean, both of those guys, I'm talking Landry and Adams, are going to improve your wide receiver group a lot. And I do think they should retain Inman if they can. Another bigger body, 6'3". Yeah, I think you can use him kind of like the Saints use a guy like Brandon Coleman. Just a bigger target who, you know, get him out in open space, see what he can do. And we saw he had that nice corner route yesterday. It was wide open down the field. And
right.
That was his first grab of the Bear. You know, it was funny to see him kind of look toward the end zone and the Bears fans and introduce himself, pounding his chest like, "All right, I'm here to help. Let's do this." And he certainly did. 6 catches, 88 yards. So that was definitely nice to see. It was promising. The Bears need to absolutely add one, maybe two veteran receivers to that group next year. I'd like Landry. I think Adams would probably be the number one target. If you keep Inman, that's helpful. And then hopefully you get Meredith back, Kevin White back, and then you fill it out with maybe another secondary free agent target. And now you've got a group of NFL receivers that Trubisky can develop relationships with. We're still relatively young.
NBC Sports Chicago's Bears postgame live producer Slavko Bekovic joining me on the All Day SJ show. Slavia, I appreciate your time. And before I let you go, I got to ask you the question that everybody's wondering after a demoralizing loss like that. How far away are the Bears truly from contending? Are they another year or two of this rebuild away? Or with the right amount of moves next year, do you think that they can turn some heads and finally get back to the postseason?
I think next year is their year to really compete. Obviously, Rodgers will be back with the Packers. The Vikings have a very top defense and really good weapons on offense. Now you're expecting Bridgewater at some point to kind of come back and become their number one quarterback. So I think the Vikings are going to be the cream of the crop in the NFC North for the time being. Detroit, they've had a great passing game, but their defense still doesn't really scare me all that much. And they still turn the ball over quite a bit, and they have no running game. So if you can make them one-dimensional and limit their passing game, they're definitely a beatable team. The Bears have a very good defense. The Bears have depth on defense for the first time in a while. And to his credit, which I think we don't give enough credit to Ryan Pace, he has drafted very well. Look at what he's done just in this draft. First round, you've got a starting quarterback. Eddie Jackson has been great. Tariq Cohen has become a really good weapon. That's actually something I'd like to see them do more on offense, is get Cohen more touches. You know, they drafted Jordan Howard. They drafted Cody Whitehair. They drafted Leonard Floyd. Nick Kwiatkowski has done a really good job of stepping in with Freeman and Trevathan having their issues of, you know, being on the field.
Right.
Look at Christian Jones. I don't know if he was a seventh-round pick or an undrafted free agent, but, you know, they signed him and they've developed him and groomed him into an NFL linebacker. They've done a really good job, especially on defense, of adding depth. Adrian Amos was a Ryan Pace draft pick. Kyle Fuller has been kind of resurgent, I guess, this year for the Bears because he's finally healthy. I like Vic Fangio's defense. And there's a lot of good things. There's a lot of positives. Trubisky's only going to get better. Trubisky needs more time to develop chemistry with whatever weapons he's going to have. So they have drafted well, and I think if you have another really good draft where you can bring in two or three players who are quickly a part of your rotation and quickly contributing to your NFL team, may not necessarily be as starters, but in the way of a Cohen or a Whitehair or Eddie Jackson. If you have another good draft, you sign two or three key free agents, and you let Trubisky develop a little bit more, I mean, there's no reason that this team should not compete next year, assuming that they have, you know, a top 10 defense, because that's what they have this year. The defense has been great. And when you have strong defense, it's going to keep you in ball games. If they can continue to take the ball away, that's going to provide you some easier points and take a little bit of pressure off your offense, which in turn will also help with field position for a young quarterback. There's no reason that this team should not compete in 2018.
Well, that's great stuff, Slavia. I really appreciate you joining the show, man. Very in-depth knowledge and very straightforward and to the point. I know my listeners are going to appreciate what you had to say today, and I wish you nothing but continued success producing the Bears postgame live show. You do a great job. Everybody tune in and support this man. He works very hard. I thank you for joining my show, Slav, and again, I can't wait for my listeners to hear this, man. You did a great job, and I appreciate you taking the time out, my brother.
Yeah,